Between this hour and the next, I have a whole lot more to say than what I'm going to have time to say. Something I didn't include in my notes, but I want to mention, is the situation in Israel. We know the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and I'm just going to read a verse. When God had called Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he said this, he said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that everything Israel does is right, because it is a secular nation, it's not a spiritual nation, for the most part. Obviously, they're not right with God at this point. But there is a general principle, and we read it right here, and it hasn't changed, that if we bless the nation of Israel, we will be blessed. If we curse them, we will be cursed. For the first time since Israel was regathered and formed in 1948, we have a president, for the first time, that is questioning our loyalty to the nation of Israel. I don't bring that up in a political sense, I bring that up in a spiritual sense. It is dangerous ground. Added to what we're going to look at this morning, both in this hour and the next hour, that is dangerous, because he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. He wants to appease both sides. And please understand that what's happening in Gaza is war. In war, people die. It's tragic. Children sometimes die in war. It's tragic. Do you think any children or any women died in World War II? You think any died in Vietnam or the Gulf Wars? Do you think any women and children died? Of course. It's tragic, but it happens. Most of the citizens of Gaza have voted repeatedly for Hamas. To rule over them. When we send aid over there, it goes into the hands of Hamas. They build bombs and they build tunnels. Very little, if any, of it gets to the people. The people don't want, I'm talking the majority, do not want change. They agree. Remember that from a small little child, they are brainwashed into hating the Jews. The Jews need to be annihilated. They're evil. They need, you know, the same thing that Iran does concerning Americans, teaching the children how evil we are. So keep that in mind. Keep praying for Israel. I pray just about, if not every day, close to every day for the nation, praying for peace, praying for victory. For the first time ever, the leader of the Senate, which is Chuck Schumer, he is a Jewish person, and he actually stood up in the Senate chamber and called for the removal of Netanyahu. And that is absolutely the first time that has ever happened. It's unprecedented. It's ridiculous. And part of the reason is we are seeing more and more insanity. I'm gonna show you from the scripture why there's so much insanity in our nation. I mean, there's no other way to label it. It's insanity, some of the things that are happening. So on Memorial Day, of course, the title of the lesson in Sunday school is America in Decline. On Memorial Day, of course, we remember all who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our great nation. There's nothing greater that one can do for their nation than to lay down their life. The tradition of remembering started in, and there was some, you know, discussion back and forth. Some in the South said we started, some in the North said we started. But supposedly the tradition began back in 1866 after the Civil War in Waterloo, New York. Some organization would put flowers on graves and that sort of thing. And then after World War I, the day was expanded to include all who died in American wars. In December of 2000, for some reason I missed this. I don't know how I missed it. I didn't know anything about it. If I did, I forgot about it. But in December of 2000, Congress passed, and President, I'm assuming it would have been Clinton, because Bush didn't take office till January, signed into law what's called the National Moment of Remembrance Act. How many of you remember that? I don't remember it. Nobody else does either. Well, the founder of the Moment of Remembrance organization, and there's an actual, there, I'm assuming it's still going on, the National Moment of Remembrance, there's some kind of organization that was started at the same time. The founder is Carmela Lespeda, and she said this, talking about at 3 o'clock tomorrow. I've never done it because I didn't know about it, but all Americans are supposed to take 1 minute. And obviously as Christians, we would pray. But if you're not a Christian, you would have like a moment of silence. So that way in the, because we've turned it into another day off. Yay, got a 3-day weekend and all that stuff. Barbecue, we have a barbecue at the house. Tomorrow's going to be horrible, 99% chance of rain, winds, hail. But the barbecue will go on. But at 3 o'clock, and George and Becca are going to remind me, we are to have a moment of silence. We will have a short prayer to pray, not for the dead. Please don't turn Catholic on me and pray for the dead, but pray for our nation and pray that the memories of those who died, something like 1,037,000 men and women have died for our nation, that's recorded. 1,037,000. I think that's the number. I will get to it in a minute in case I gave you the wrong. No, that's the number of abortions last year, which we'll talk about that as well. 1,304,705. 1,304,705 of our brave citizens have died for our nation. Now the question is, did they die in vain? Did our founding fathers, who gave up fortune and many gave up their lives and could have lived a cushy life and gave it all toward the founding of our nation, I wonder how they would feel about the state of America. The Bible's clear, and I believe with all of my heart, and I've not wavered in over 47 years, the Bible in its entirety is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I believe some of it is, but some of it probably isn't. There's fables in there or whatever. No, if we start down that road, then we become God because we then think we can determine what's true and what's not. So it's all or none. We're either Bible believers or we're not Bible believers. We don't have the authority nor the ability to pick and choose. And I find no reason not to accept all of it as the totally verbally inspired, all of it, every jot, every tittle, every dot of the I, cross of the T, it's all the Word of God. Remember, the Bible says this, Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. We as a nation are beginning more and more to forget God. Now, I know there are a lot of Christians, true born-again believers in the United States. I believe that's the reason, one of the main reasons why God has stayed his hand of actual judgment. But we are seeing in our leadership and in our universities, our schools, our government, in many of the organizations that put policies in place that God is no longer included. Do you know that the Democrat Party, I don't call them Democratic, there's nothing Democratic about them. The Democrat Party has taken God out of their platform. In his place, they have put proudly abortion. And even I read their platform, in case you're wondering, well, you don't know what it says. No, I read it just this week. And they have also included Black Lives Matter, which is a communist organization that, of course, took the money and bought mansions, didn't help any black people. And it's all a political organization to try to stir up strife. Did you know that reverse racism is still racism? Because you're racist against a white man or a white woman, that doesn't make it right. Racism is wrong in all of its forms. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness, that's right living. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. One translation has it, sin condemns any people. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then one we often refer to in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse number 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We are living in that time. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There's no question. If anybody's honest, there's no question. America is in decline. Something has to be done. If we get four more years of the man that's in the White House, our nation is history. Period. No questions asked. I've never seen, I know I'm not even supposed to say this. If I go to jail, please bring me donuts and come see me. But, I mean, the truth is the truth. He's an evil man. He's a man in decline. You can't help that part. I don't wish ill as far as health on anyone, including our president. But he is an evil man. And he's done a lot to destroy our nation. And he is one of the biggest liars. I mean, I thought Obama was a liar. There's a book written about his lies. But this man can't open his mouth without speaking a lie. It's really frustrating. Did you know that when he took office, inflation was at 9%? That's what he said. Do you know what it really was? 1.4. Gets away with it because the media is commie as well. Our culture is in moral decline and decay. And what I'm going to talk about is not, I'm not going to get into a political rant. I've already done more than what I intended to. Okay, this, I'm dealing with spiritual issues that have become a part of the political landscape. Okay, these are Bible issues. These are things that if we violate the word of God, we will fall under the judgment of God. And we're going to answer the question today whether or not we are right now under the wrath of Almighty God. Many of our leaders and influencers are seeking to dethrone God and have rejected the heroes of our past. If you are a born-again believer in America today, you are called oftentimes a bigot or an extremist. God's been thrown out of our schools, out of the courts, out of the Democrat platform, out of our media, and many facets of society. We certainly are no longer a nation under God. Why not? Pastor, why are we no longer a nation under God? The number one reason, in my opinion, is abortion. Abortion. Now, I know you've heard all about abortion, and some even that claim to be saved think it's okay. But I want you to think about what abortion is. Abortion ends a life. Who is the life giver? God is. So who has the right to take a life? Because he's the creator. He's the potter, we're the clay. Now, we can bicker and argue about, you know, should a woman be allowed to have an abortion if her life is in danger, or if the baby is greatly deformed, or we can come up with all kinds of exceptions. And I'm not, my purpose today is not to get into that kind of detail. my purpose today is to remind everyone that 99.9% of abortions are abortions of convenience. So we're talking about a very small percentage of abortions that are exceptions that are often accepted by those who normally would not be for abortion. I think it's important that our government protect the lives of the most vulnerable among us. In 1973, the Supreme Court, and it's critical that we understand the Supreme Court is the highest court in the land. And if you read the Bible, those in leadership in nations are accountable to God for their leadership, even if they're not, quote unquote, a Christian or a God-fearing nation. You ever read about Nineveh? What happened in Nineveh? Jonah, remember the story of Jonah? Well, he was supposed to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't want God to, he wanted God to destroy them because they were so evil. He didn't want them to repent and get right, so he ran from God. And that he ended up in the belly of a great fish, didn't he? He got spit out on dry land, and then he realized maybe I ought to get to preach and stop the nonsense. And Nineveh repented, didn't they? As a nation. Didn't mean that every single person in Nineveh became God-fearing and really believed in God. No, it means that the leadership turned back to God and led the people in a moral way, if you please. Like the United States used to be. We were never I hear this all the time, we were a Christian nation. We had Christian principles. We were founded on Christian morality. Some of the men, the founders, were Christians, others were deists, others, but there was a respect for God and understanding that God was God. No question about him being creator. God, we find creator in our founding documents. So we know they believe in a creator God. So for 200 plus years, we were under this sort of umbrella, if you please, that a lot of nations went through things we didn't go through because there was a moral fiber that held this nation together. There was a respect for God, even in schools. What was the first textbook in the beginning of the public schools? The Word of God. And in the early primers, it was Scripture. I remember as a small child, I'm so old, I remember before prayer got thrown out of school and Bible reading, we heard the Bible. And guess what? It didn't kill any of us. And when we prayed, there was no death. There was no, the ceiling didn't begin to shake and the floors begin to tremble. We have this separation of church and state nonsense it's not in the Constitution. It's not there. So now we have a mentality as a people that somehow we got to keep God out of everything. Separation of God from country. It's destroying our country. And preachers and pulpits are mealy-mouthed and they're afraid to speak up. Amen. So we're losing our nation. It's falling apart right before our eyes. And still 35% or so or more, 40%, and more in some places, still will vote for a party that's thrown God completely out of the platform. I don't understand it. Today, abortion is held up as a fundamental right of women and a badge of honor for one, I hope I don't start coughing, one political party. The president was at some rally, well, he didn't have rallies, some little gathering. I don't remember where it was, and somebody said something about abortion because they're so proud of it. I mean, I would definitely put that in the forefront. What do you believe in? What do you stand for? Killing babies! Yes, vote for me. It's just sick. It's sick. So, somebody said something about abortion, and he does a sign of the cross. That's the man that's leading our nation. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned, and everybody on the left went nuts, absolutely went insane. and rallied the troops. They're good at rallying the troops, man, they really are. And turned the midterm 2022 elections. Many Democrats won because they're pro-killing babies. And it used to be, remember back, even Hillary, back in the day, used to say abortion should be rare and early. How many of you remember her saying that? Come on, you don't want to admit your age, do you? Now it's abortion beyond, in some states, the time of birth where that baby can be laid on the stomach of the mother and a decision can be made whether to kill that baby or not. So it's no longer early. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022, abortions in America have increased. They've increased. The pro-abortionists, the pro-death people said, oh no, don't be able to have abortions. Oh no. Now there are some states, which it should be turned over to the states. Never should have been a national thing. They twisted the Constitution to fit it in, and even some liberal justices over the years said it's not gonna hold. One day it's gonna be overturned. It's gonna be overturned. I got drainage. Hopefully it'll stop. So in the first year, full year, since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which would have been last year, 2023, there have been 1,037,000 abortions. That's significant because for several years, abortions were going down to a low of 885,000 in 2017. For the first time since 2012, there have been over 1 million abortions in the United States of America. That's 1 million babies have been slaughtered. Let me ask you something. Well, God bless that. No. You know what that is? That's equal to child sacrifice. You know, the Jews used to get in some really down times in the Old Testament. They would actually offer sacrifice. They would offer babies as a sacrifice. That is exactly what this is. This is an abomination in the eyes of a holy God. Period. It's an abomination. It's a curse upon a nation. So since 1973, it's been legal in the United States to murder babies. 11% more babies are killed now since 2020. 11% increase since 2020. And that's probably an underestimate because it only includes abortions in the formal healthcare system. The blood of these babies cry out from the ground like the blood of Abel, crying out for justice and divine vengeance. And God will see to it that the blood of these babies is avenged. What does Satan want to do? As he is no doubt behind things like abortion, he wants to destroy motherhood. And I'm going to talk about a progression of how things have gone down and how things kind of fit together. How many of you heard about Harrison Butker's speech, the Kansas City Chief kicker? Did you hear about that this past week? Now, he's a Catholic, and a lot of his speech has, he spoke to a Catholic college, so a lot of his speech is Catholic stuff, and I am a hater of the Catholic Church, not Catholics. I'm a hater of their teaching. They sent more people to hell than any one religious organization on the planet. You say, well, that's not good to say that. They believe in Jesus. Yeah, a lot of people believe. I believed in Jesus until I was almost 24 and I was on my way to hell because I had no idea. I knew he died, I knew he was buried, I knew he rose again. I had no idea why because no one ever told me. All I had was a bunch of facts stored up in my head and had no idea that I could have a relationship with the living God that would change me from the inside out and even change the direction of my whole life. To give you an example of something that that I found kind of troubling. Well, I'll find it. I just wanted to share because the left one, no, I mean, went absolute, oh my goodness, the end of the world. And what I want to bring out is how not that many years ago, somebody gave a speech like this Most people would have said, yeah, that's good. Very short. Listen to this. For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world. Anything wrong with that? But, he said, I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. Now, if that was said 20 years ago, would anybody even have raised their eyebrows? I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on stage today, and I am the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school, and she became my wife and embraced one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. Now, did he tell any woman that they are supposed to be a homemaker? You have to be a homemaker. If you're not a homemaker, you're evil. All he said was, some of you are going to walk across stage and do other things, but I want to tell you about my wife and what happened in her life. Here's one of those Catholic things that... He said, she's the person that knows me best at my core, and it is through our marriage that, Lord willing, we will both attain salvation. What do you think of that? And then he said to the men, oh, and by the way, after he said, homemaker, there was 18 seconds of applause. Remember, he's speaking to Catholics. He's speaking to a specific group. To the gentleman today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture. And when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around our nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. Now, what's wrong with that? The left went nuts. I mean, they went nuts. They lost their minds. They called for the Kansas City Chiefs to get rid of this guy. Got to bench him. Andy Reid got up and said, hey, he can say what he wants. He said, I'll let you in here. You can say what you want. That's what he told. Love that guy. I love that guy. But National Football League have not learned their lesson from the kneeling thing and how the fans, it went kind of like this, and now it's back up because I thought they were coming to their senses. But they had to right away come in and said, we are for diversity and inclusion and blah, 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 and all that garbage, the DEI snot that's killing our nation. They're the same. They haven't changed. Cowards. These organizations bowing before the God of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm all for equality. Our Constitution talks about it. Everyone should have equal opportunity. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care whether you're male or female or whatever. But we cannot determine outcomes. Too many variables. Are you a lazy bum? You don't want to work? There's all kinds of different reasons why people don't excel. But the far left, the communists, of course, they want They say everybody had the same thing. They don't want anybody to own anything. Of course, there would still be the hierarchy and the rich. They'll never, you know, even in communist countries like China, you don't think there are any rich rulers in China? Yeah, come on. Second thing is helping destroy America's legalization of same-sex marriage. We're again pointing to the courts. Because God looks at the decisions of the leaders of a nation to determine whether he's going to bless a nation or not. We the people, of course, oftentimes allow what happens to happen. Now, we have no control over the court, do we, other than sending representatives to Congress and Senate, and if the president nominates somebody, then he has to go through the confirmation process, which, by the way, that I forget her first name, Jackson Brown? Yeah. The one that... Pardon? Yeah, she was asking her confirmation hearing, excuse me, but what's the definition of a woman? And she couldn't give one. She could, but see, she was politically kind of tied up. She couldn't really say, because then the far left would be mad at her. I mean, everyone knows what a woman is. It's not a man that puts on a dress, okay? But all of this is Satan's ongoing attempt to destroy the family. Our Supreme Court, unfortunately, in many decisions, and now, of course, we have, quote-unquote, a conservative court. I don't know how conservative they really are. I know that who's the one that's the head now, the Chief Justice? Yeah, he's a lib. He was put in by Republicans. He's as lib. Because of him, we have that Obamacare nonsense. Don't forget, there are a lot of Republicans that are really Democrats, but there are no Democrats that are really Republicans. We got the swampy Republicans, the ones that like the yo-yo in Idaho, Romney, big lib. With Roe v. Wade, the court said murder isn't murder. Then with the same-sex marriage law, marriage isn't marriage, and family isn't family. And what that is rebellion and blasphemy. That's what that is. It's rebellion against the Word of God and blasphemy. God's authority has been rejected. He creates life. He's the author of marriage and family. When morality is defined differently than God defines it, goes against his holy nature, his holy law. That is blasphemy, and that is rebellion. Also, gender transition. This is ridiculous. This is insanity, and we'll talk about it in the next hour, how we see this decline and how ultimately God gives one up. It can be a nation, and to the point where people just don't think right. Do you ever wonder how can anybody think that way? It's the power of Satan, and it's the fact that God has given them up to a depraved mind. And what that means is they don't think right. They can't think right. That's how you can listen to somebody in the far left, radical, fringe, communist mindset, and they say things that are absolutely insane. And you scratch your head and say, who could possibly believe that it's a good idea to tell a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old that, you know, I know you're a boy, but you may be a girl. Or you're a girl and you may be a boy. I mean, that's insanity. It's insanity. Amen. Used to be considered a mental illness. Now it's to be celebrated, promoted, even among children. Now we have in the month of June a whole month to celebrate LGBTQ plus 278, 42, whatever it is. A whole month given to celebrate perversion. Having parades with men dressed like women, which is dealt with in the Word of God, by the way. Transvestitism is an abomination in the eyes of God. A man dressing like a woman dressed like a man. that is in the Word of God and is absolute abomination. Listen, having a man in a G-string or whatever shaking their butts in a parade in front of a small little child, any parent that would let their child witness that needs to be put away somewhere. God made it clear in Genesis that He made male and female. He said marriage is the joining of a man and a woman to come together and have children. But not too far, even in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, by chapter 19, we have polygamy, we have incest, we have prostitution, we have rampant homosexuality. Satan wants to destroy all that God has made and created. Satan doesn't want to just redefine gender or redefine marriage. He wants to destroy it. Why? Because God designed it, and he hates it. The family is sort of a small, sovereign little unit. And in the family, we have our own little safe space, don't we? That's why the Constitution says there's not supposed to be somebody from the FBI knocking on your door and they can barge in and without a warrant or without just cause and come in and search and seize like's happening all the time now because we have a weaponized Department of Justice, because we have a wicked, vile president, and we have a hapless Garland who... supposed to be attorney. He's attorney general, right?
Yeah. Could have been a Supreme Court
justice. Yes. Exactly. Can you imagine that man on the court? You're exactly right. Well, if you destroy marriage, privacy's destroyed. And then you hear a lot about this from the far left. Children are not yours. I heard the president say it. They're not your children. They're our children. Hillary started with it takes a village. Remember that? And now they want the kids barely out of diapers, some not even out of diapers, to go into government schools so they can be indoctrinated as young as possible. You think that's by accident? No, Satan has worked overtime in destroying the family. These are public children. They belong to the education system, to the country, the village. They don't belong to us. In Oregon, a state out west somewhere, right, George? George did the smart thing. He's from Washington State. He got out of there as quick as he could. A 15-year-old can have a sex change, a complete sex change in Oregon without his or her parents knowing anything about it, and the state pays for it. That's just one example. There are hundreds. Parents don't even have to know about it. Why should they know? They don't belong to the parents. So the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, has made some decisions that are an open rebellion against God. But this is also a reflection on the people because, you know, nations are made up of sinful people. We're all sinners, right? We all have hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But behind these sinful hearts, the thing that makes this possible and acceptable to many is the realm of Satan and demons. The world is Satan's domain. He is the God, small g, of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He blinds the minds of those who would believe. All that is holy and good are enemies of Satan. The Godhead, the Bible, the church, the Christian, all are his enemies. He hates them all. He rules the world of sinners. He's the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. He wants to destroy all that is holy, all that is pure, all that is true, light, and virtuous. And as I mentioned earlier, God spared America for over 200 years for much of the conflicts that a lot of the world has to face because of the prevailing influence of of Christian morality, or some say Judeo-Christian ethic. God has blessed us, but now that's changing. The gross sins of our society are not the real battlegrounds. The real battlegrounds are against God, against Christ, against the Holy Spirit, the church, the gospel, and the Christian. Who do you think it is that fuels hatred and blasphemy? The family is under assault also because in the family, if a family is right with God, they're going to teach their children what's right and what's wrong. You destroy the family, you destroy that avenue of teaching right and wrong. Over 50% of families, of children in families, are born. Let me start over. 50% of children born in our nation are born in a household that doesn't have a father and a mother. Over half. That's tragic. Look at the progression. Began in the 60s with contraception. And that was founded by, really pushed by the feminist movement. So now you can have sex without children. The greatest restraint in having sex before is, you know what? The woman might get pregnant. So it's kind of, it didn't stop a lot of people, obviously, but it stopped a lot, right? Because we better not, you might get pregnant. Well, of course, it's not foolproof. What if the woman still gets pregnant? Well, then abortion came along. We can just kill it. Now that they have a pill you can take. So now we have sex without children. Now we have where you can have children without sex. If you're a lesbian couple, you can have an implant in your womb or in vitro or whatever. And so you can have a baby without sex. Or if you're male homosexuals, you can adopt one. I mean, after all, they got books in kindergarten now. Little Johnny has two mommies, teaching that perversion is normal. I don't care what society says. I don't care what society says. I don't care what society says. I don't care what names you call me. I don't care if you hate my guts. It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever, because God is clear that those that are involved in that lifestyle cannot, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write it. Both Old and New Testaments are clear. Clear. Well, I'm a libertarian. I don't care whatever somebody wants to do behind closed doors. God still sees it, and it's still perversion, and it still impacts the nation. I'm not saying we should barge into people's homes and stop them from doing whatever they're doing. I'm just saying don't act like it doesn't matter what they do. Because I hear these libertarians say, well, you know, everybody should be able to do what they want as long as they don't hurt anybody else. It does hurt everybody else. Because it's a slap in the face of Almighty God, who's the creator. He created marriage and family. Remember that. So why do you need a family? Why do you need a husband? Why do you need a wife? About, again, 50% of children in America are born without married parents, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Why get married at all? It's too complicated. There's too many questions. It's too binding. It's too hard to live with somebody. Satan wants the end of traditional biblical marriage, period. He just does. So let me wrap it up. I know I'm late, but I had to finish this. I don't think I'm going to get through the next hour is even more. I got so much jam-packed in. I spent a lot of time on this between this one and the next hour. In the next hour, we're going to look in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to answer the question, has God's wrath been unleashed on America? And I'm not going to go through the rest of this, because I'll be covering that anyway in the next hour. Questions or comments? Yes, sir. Bill.
As far as this in vitro fertilization, you're actually at the point where you can have a designer child.
You can what?
You can have a designer child.
I've heard that.
You can have specific DNA attributes.
Yeah. I mean, hair color and everything, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, that'd be cool.
Genetic engineering.
Man. Thank you, sir. Genetic engineering, who would have thought, huh? All right, pray for the church. Pray for our nation. May God save America. Pray for Israel and Ukraine, law enforcement, our troops, our missionaries. Pray for Mark, his health situation. Rhonda needs strength. Rhonda's mom as well. She took a pretty serious fall on concrete and didn't break anything. It was not seriously injured. I mean, that's just the hand of God. That's all there is to it. Pray for Bill. Is your back to normal as long as you behave yourself? Pray that God would finish healing his kidneys. They are functioning better than they had, and that just doesn't happen unless God's involved. Yeah. Melissa Wiles had surgery. She's doing well. It's somebody Becca works with. Jane Simpson, part of the Miller singing. Well, she's not. Her husband is. She's improving. Sherry's friend Linda did well in her with her surgery. Gary and Kathy. Pray for, that was from last week, Gary and Kathy's family traveling. Pray for the Unger family, death of Bob. And then Gary's sister, Darlene, the one that visited up here, she lives in Florida. She got a serious diagnosis of leukemia. And it's very, very serious. And treatments will extend her life, but unless God intervenes, it's not a cure, correct? Yes.
She's 85, and Gary just turned 79 in December of last year and this year, and they've never, ever had a disagreement. They have never spoke a crossword to one another, and that's the truth. They made an agreement.
Even when they were teeny weeny kids? They
well,
didn't.
Now.
You didn't fight over the little truck or anything?
I don't know what happened then, but I know that they made an agreement that no matter who they married, what happened, that they would never let anything come between their relationship with one another, and it truly hasn't.
Wow.
She's one in a million, so is he.
Yeah, because Gary married you.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, boy, you talk about a test of that commitment.
That was probably not biblical.
Yeah, I think that's out of the realms of Scripture for sure. All right, and then, believe it or not, I just remember. I get it out and I lay it over here and I forget. Missionaries for this week, Samuel and Tiffany Cho, C-H-O. Chaplain in the U.S. Navy. He said, pray for my deployment. I will be away from Tiffany and our sweet little girl, Susanna. Please pray for God's protection for my family while I am away. So he is a chaplain serving in the United States Navy. That's fitting for today, isn't it? All right, let's stand together. We're not going to be able to delay real long. There's a couple of videos that Scott wants to show, and I need every minute I can get. I may have to end up dividing it in half, and I hate to do that because you lose continuity, but we'll see how it goes. Father, we thank you, Lord. We can call upon you, and you are faithful. And we know, Lord, that as long as you're God on the throne, that you could and you would save America if we would indeed repent and turn back to you, if our leaders would stop rejecting you and rebelling against you and violating your word and denying the truth of Scripture. And I pray, Father, that you would indeed save America. Send revival to our churches, Lord. Awaken those that are supposed to be standing for you. We pray, Lord, that you touch the bodies of those sick and heal them as only you can. We think of Gary's sister, Lord. What a difficult, difficult time. I pray, Lord, if it would please and glorify you, that you would heal her completely. If not, give her that peace that surpasses human understanding. May your arms of love and grace be wrapped around her. May she sense your presence in a very real way. Continue to give Gary and the family strength as well. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the coming hour. If there's one here without the Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Thank you for those that came to Sunday school. I pray you'd bless them for their effort. And Lord, may you empower me in the next hour, Lord. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a few minutes if you need to use the facilities, and we'll have to get started just as soon as we can, okay?